Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
All right, John, what part of things that the Trump administration is doing do you want to talk about?
Oh, there's so much.
I can't keep up. Oh, my goodness.
Where do you even start?
It's impossible to keep up. It's kind of, it's in some ways it's bad because it's so many things all at once that nobody can really keep up. I think the White House actually does an outstanding job of pushing out the information. They're not hiding anything.
No, fact, and that's the best part.
The thing that in this regard that has impressed me the most about the Trump administration is I don't even think I signed up for it. I think that our news department was somehow added, either they did or we did or whatever. And they, in fact, we get two. I get one to my email and one to the news. Everything we get, which is Trump's schedule, which is this executive order, which is that perspective piece, which is this debunking some fake news thing they call. Every day, what's your guess? 10? A day?
Yeah,
maybe.
That would be a good
probably
estimation.
And they are actually doing a lot better. Originally, it would just say, release, or it didn't have any information in the subject line, and now I can tell from the subject whether I need to read it or not, which is much better, rather than Trump comments or something stupid like that. So, okay, let's get into it. There's been a lot of things, and in my opinion, a very mixed bag, some good, some bad. For example, the Trump administration is going to destroy $9.7 million in birth control as part of USAID stuff. It's in the Netherlands, and I think it has to do with expiring or expired, primarily like IUDs and women's birth control pills, either short term or long term. And kind of the idea here is, what else would you do? But they say, the warehouse says that they've explored all the possible options to prevent the destruction. 50,000 IUDs, 2 million doses of injectable contraceptive, 900,000 implantable contraceptives, and more than 2 million packets of oral birth control, all totaling about 10 million. They're not destroying condoms. If you were wondering, okay. Only a limited number of commodities have been approved for disposal, according to the spokesperson. This was a Washington Post reporting. No HIV medications or condoms are being destroyed. I did think it was the Washington Post should do better. This paragraph in the story was just false. Oral contraceptive pills, injectables, implants, or IUDs are not considered abortifacients because the State Department asked which contraceptives, because part of the release, part of the person is that, the things that they're destroying do include abortifacients. An abortifacient is a pharmaceutical that produces an abortion effect, the effect of an abortion. And then the Washington Post felt obligated to fact check the State Department, except they botched their fact check. Oral contraceptive pills, injectables, implants, or IUDs are not considered abortifacients. Well, that's not true. Oral contraceptive pills are considered at least partial or abortifacients. I'll tell you why in a second. They go on to write, the Washington Post writes, they work by preventing conception, the creation of an embryo or a fertilized egg. Some abortion opponents argue that they could theoretically prevent an embryo from implanting in the uterine lining, but that's not how they work. That's false. That is how they work. That's, in fact, if you take, you might take the pill not to prevent pregnancy, but to thin a very heavy menstruation. That's exactly how it works. There's actually three mechanisms. It can suppress ovulation. That's to prevent fertilization. It can also change the lining in the cervix, which can also prevent the egg and the sperm from getting together. But the third effect is to thin the endometrial lining. And thinning the endometrial lining specifically has the result of, if you had a fertilized egg implant, it's going to have lower chances of surviving all the way through to term. Now, that's a byproduct, but that is certainly one of the effects. In fact, that's why women take the pill as a way of handling or evening out a heavy or an irregular flow, is for that exact reason. So I'm amazed the Washington Post put that out because it's just, false. Anyway, that's just one story. Other stories, the Justice Department under Trump has now shut down a dark web child abuse site or ring of sites, good for them, that had, 120,000 members. 120,000 users for this site on the dark web or collection of sites. It's called Operation Grayskull. Launched in 2020, law enforcement agents noticed a spike in traffic to a dark website suspected of hosting CSAM or child sexual abuse material. The dark web child abuse sites eventually attracted more than 120,000 members while the Department of Justice was watching. Good for them. Millions of files and at least 100,000 visits in a single day. 100,000 visits in a day, according to FBI. Even for prosecutors, it's difficult to understand how pervasive this is, according to Matt Galeotti, head of the Justice Department Criminal Division. What do our law enforcement agents say? Every time they fund a sting operation, they get people. Every single time, whether it's child sex material or whether it's, you know, go to meet up with a minor. And I had not told you. I'll tell you the smallest slice of this story to not drive you crazy. There's a story out of Alabama within the last 2 weeks of a house with kids. And that's all I'm going to say. And there was like been 9 people arrested so far. It's, and I don't mean 14-year-olds. I mean kids. Like, it's atrocious. And it's apparently everywhere. I mean, it's this, like 120,000 users to one dark web kid porn site. I mean, God. And, you know, I hate to make it worse, but you're out shopping and some of those guys, and you're at the beach and some of those guys, and you're, you know, and it's guys, mostly not women, we know, okay, some maybe, but you know, of course in the Alabama story, some are collaborators, they're women involved, it's Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeff Espin all over again, at a smaller level, in a much more horrendous way, in a certain way, it's more horrendous, because it's younger kids. Anyway, it's, I'm the guy who wants to stand up and prevent people from being falsely accused and say that, you know, look, I'm a father of three and I might be at the playground and I'm not doing anything weird. I'm just a guy at a playground, you know. But man, when you, it's incredibly discouraging to think about how many, how much this happens. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
How do I follow that? Brought to you by...
But at least they're shutting stuff down and arresting people.
True.
But it's like the starfish story. It's, you know, you pick one up and throw it back. How much of a difference does it make? Well, it made a difference for that one. Anyway, go ahead, John.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to report. But if you're on 9 Mile westbound, approaching the I-10 westbound ramp, the road is now closed. They're trying to move that 18-wheeler that slid off the road into the woods out of the way. So just be advised on that. Traffic is at a standstill right now. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is going back a week or two, but it's, since we're kind of in Trump roundup mode right now, did you happen to see Trump weigh in on the issue of calling soccer football or football soccer?
No, I didn't. He did?
Well, it's a big thing. And, you know, Johnny's a friend of mine. He's done such a great job with the league and with soccer, or they would call it football, but I guess we call it soccer. I'm not sure that change could be made very easily.
What if we make an executive order? We can only say football from now on.
I think we could do that. I think I could do that.
No, call it soccer. Football is starting at the end of the month, or
yeah,
August.
Soon, right? Soon.
Yeah.
But... he's like, I don't know, the 3, the 8, the 4, the 2, 5, why not? You know, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Just made me laugh. Oh, my God. so that's, the Trump administration is suing California because they have all those rules about animal cruelty restrictions on chickens laying eggs that make egg prices go up. And so they're trying to force California to eliminate its restrictions, which have then affected the raising of chickens for eggs in other parts of the country, because they won't import the eggs if they're raised in a cruel way, or what they define as a cruel way. And that would seem to be an interference on interstate commerce. And so he's saying, you got to drop that rule. And that's not the reason we had the egg shortage and the price spike, but it was one of the contributing factors, at least theoretically, because they have to reduce the volume of chickens that they can raise. Little things that you don't, I mean, you know, just stuff that's happening. Also, Trump, this is actually going back another week or so, but Trump wants to take Rosie O'Donnell's citizenship away now that she's fled to Ireland.
No.
He doesn't really have that power.
Well, I know, but Wow.
He doesn't have that ability. But I can't, you know, what is she going to object? What does she care, right? By the way, apparently your U.S. citizenship is something my wife has been looking into, like when we retire kind of stuff, and which is not soon. Don't worry.
I was like, you better not.
Or if you're the people I criticize, you know, don't celebrate. But she was looking into the idea of living abroad, traveling around, that kind of stuff. And she was looking up passports and just to see, you know, does it benefit you to have a passport here, there, to what? And she's, it's kind of amazing. You can have an American passport and lots of other passports too. And I didn't know that. So small note in the whole wide world of things. Another Trump thing that's been happening is, oh, this is actually really interesting. We talked earlier about how Trump is actually now the Office of Personnel Management has specifically issued a memo saying that you can evangelize in the workplace, you can pray in the workplace, although not on, you know, hours where you're getting billed, where you're supposed to be working. But, you know, you can talk to people about religion. You can even persuade them as long as they don't object. If they say stop, you have to stop. But you can pray, you can have Bibles, you can have crucifixes, you can have pictures on the wall. I'm like, well, good. So the First Amendment is finally being back in place in the workplace. That's a, I mean,
imagine
really.
Imagine that.
If you want to hear my conversation about that, I spent the whole 6 o'clock, from 6 to 6:30 talking about that this morning. Oh, also, John, you wanted me to mention the 5 a.m. discussion about millage rates?
Yes.
We went over it pretty quickly in the last, like, 7 to 7:30. So if you missed that, man, 7 to 7:30, you need to listen to that conversation if you live in Escambia County because of property taxes. The school board is going to raise them a half mil at tomorrow night's meeting at 5 o'clock. If you want to weigh in, weigh in. But if you don't understand what a mill is and how millage works, I explained that a lot with a long diatribe on math incompetence, I think, also in the 5 o'clock hour. Newsradio923.com for the podcast, or download the app, and then it's very easy. Just click on the Pensacola Morning News. So Trump has created a whole new category of federal workers. Did you see this? I think it's Section G workers, I think is what they're called. Yeah, Schedule G. Sorry, Schedule G. And the idea is they are non-career employees who are likely to change with each administration. And so because they're the kind of person that you want to represent the president's agenda more than be like an ongoing bureaucrat that stays regardless of the administration. And so they're expected to only have terms that go through the president's term. So they're not like people you have to work to get rid of. They're not going to be in the union where it's difficult. You know, it's a whole new sector of employee designed around the idea that administrations change personnel. And it makes perfect sense to me. Makes perfect sense to me that you would have this. Of course, the unions are screaming because it's less power for them. But
I'm surprised they didn't name it Schedule T.
Oh, they probably didn't think of it.
I know.
Schedule, that's funny. Schedule okay. T. And then the last one, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it is an important one. The EPA is now moving to remove the endangerment finding. Are you familiar with this at all?
No.
This is big news, actually. I should probably wait for this for tomorrow, but since we're in the Trump-like roundup world, I'll mention it now. We'll talk about it tomorrow in detail. A long time ago, about 20 years or so ago, the Supreme Court ruled that carbon dioxide and emissions generally could be regulated by the EPA and that the EPA had to study it with science. Then the EPA studied it with science and came back with what's called the endangerment finding, which is that carbon dioxide is a pollutant that causes global climate change, that makes weather worse, that hurts people and kills people, and therefore the EPA can regulate it. So we have tailpipe emissions. So we have fuel efficiency standards for cars that are constantly going up, right? And we have all the various developments of that when it comes to carbon dioxide, they would say pollution or poisoning. Now, Lee Zeldin, the current EPA administrator, is now announcing that they are undoing the endangerment finding, saying that basically carbon dioxide is no longer considered a pollutant. And so all of the cascade of things built on that are going to fall away. So people will actually be able to buy the cars they want to buy that work the way they want to work.
I'm excited about that.
We won't be indirect taxing people into inefficiency, which is how the system works right now. So I'm a big fan of this. I like this as somebody who is very skeptical toward the idea of breathing as pollution.
Well, I know it's carbon dioxide. I'm like, I guess I am going to
deal with this. I think climate can change. I don't think that people breathing and farting makes it happen. I mean, that's the short version. Because think about it this way. The argument is that all of this carbon trapped within plant and particularly fossil fuels, releasing that in the environment is going to destroy our planet, right? Well, where did the carbon dioxide that's trapped in the trees and the fossil fuels come from? It came from the environment.
Right.
It was trapped there by, you know, breathing and processing.
Imagine that.
That's how that happened. So if we're restoring it, I'm not sure that that's really that big of a problem, or that really all the, you know, hyperbolic claims about us killing the planet and all the future generations because we're breathing and farting and, you know, having campfires and driving cars. I just find it implausible. And I think it's over the top and ridiculous. But I don't mind us talking about how to solve for climate-related changes, but I just don't think that breathing and farting makes it happen. So I like the rule of getting rid of the rule. So it still has to go through public comment. It's not a done deal yet. But and they're going to get sued, of course. This is going to be lots of lawsuits. So it might be a while before it changes. But, you know, you might be able to go back to buying a 20-mile-per-gallon car.
Or a V8.
Yeah. Oh. No. Nice. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. There's your Trump roundup for the day. See all the work we did there.
We need music for that.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, it's, no.
Okay.
Go on.
All right. No accidents to report to you. Let's see here. If you are on 9 Mile Road approaching I-10 westbound, just to know that the on-ramp is starting to open just a little bit. Traffic is starting to move, but it's going to be slow in that area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you need to get a roof replacement, I know it's hard to figure out who to go to because it feels like, man, who can I trust? Well, Quality Roofing Solutions. They are a relatively new advertiser here on the show, but man, I'm impressed with them. And impressed in the sense like I went and checked around and asked. And for example, on Google, they have a 4.9 out of 1,000 reviews, which is unheard of. Nobody gets a 4.9. That's crazy. Really good. They've been around since 2006. Brian Ward built the business, and after Sally, one of the things he innovated was, hey, we don't want to have supply chain issues, so let's have a warehouse. That makes it easier for us to adapt to circumstances and control costs. They stand by their roofs with a lifetime guarantee. Who does that? Good Lord, nobody. I mean, that's amazing, right? Also, whenever you ask, like on Nextdoor, people periodically will ask, you know, who can we go to? They are always on this list. Always on this list. Big investment in the community, support education, sports, and philanthropy, and all of that. And just, they talk to you like you're a real person. Call them and find out. You know, they won't expect you to know everything, and they won't treat you like you're dumb for not knowing. Okay? 777-0961, qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Markets may be unpredictable, but your cleaning service shouldn't be. At Janny King, the King of Clean, we work with you to build custom cleaning programs that fit your facility and your budget. Our local franchise owners deliver reliable, hands-on service backed by regional support, so you get flexibility, consistency, and peace of mind. That's one less thing to worry about. Head to JannyKingCleans.com to learn more. That's JannyKingCleans.com.
Janny King, the King of Clean.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm sorry. It's just you're a really nice guy and we don't want to see you get hurt.
I want to get hurt.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Speaking of songs that always make you think of a movie scene, you know, if you don't see the gopher dancing, I'm not sure what's going on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Kenny Loggins, man. All the soundtracks of the 80s. Oh, this is a sad note, but I had failed to mention it yesterday. Ryan Sandberg passed away. Oh, man.
Great baseball player.
Hey, I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, you know, but Ryan Sandberg was a great person. He was a great baseball player for the Cubs for all those years. And man, back in the day when players were with teams for long, long periods
exactly.
of time, he was Mr. Cubs, right? And passed away from cancer. So really sad note about that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes. The NBA will play two regular season games in Europe for the upcoming season. The league announcing that the Memphis Grizzlies and the Orlando Magic will play in Berlin January 15th. The two teams will play again in London January 18th. This will be the first time the NBA plays a regular season game in Germany and the 10th in London. And a House committee denying a request from Ghislaine Maxwell for immunity in exchange for testimony in the Epstein case in a letter on Tuesday. Maxwell's lawyers said she'd be willing to testify if given formal immunity.
All right, Dave. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, Ryan Sandberg's greatest game was against the Cardinals in 11 innings, June 23rd of 1984. 12-11 victory. He homered twice and drove in seven runs. So Ryan Sandberg beat the Cardinals that day.
Fox News. I'm Therese Crowley. High amplitude waves washing across Hawaii and the West Coast after a tsunami warning triggered by an offshore Russian quake rarely seen, magnitude 8.8. Hawaii's tsunami warning downgraded after the high water mark of off Maui, 5.7 feet, sent locals and tourists scrambling for the hills. Fox Weather's Craig Herrera.
The tsunami advisories are up for the west coast of the lower 48, with the exception of Northern California. Northern California under a tsunami warning.
3.5-foot waves at Crescent City, California. New York City remembers the four killed in an office building mass shooting. NYPD Chief of Department John Schell on the survivors.
He's firing AR-15 rounds at her, and to sheer terror, thank God she got away. Thank God he made a right and she made a left.
While detectives interview a Las Vegas associate of the dead shooter who provided parts for his assault rifle, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 85 degrees. The heat index topping 100 degrees right now in Pensacola. We'll get more with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. City officials in Gulf Shores have announced another year for the always popular Hangout Festival. The city council voted unanimously this week to approve a one-year extension for the festival. They also have the option to extend that deal out to cover 2027 as well. The city's hoping future festivals will measure up to this year's Sand in My Boots version of the festival, which drew huge crowds to the area. Gulf Shores City Council planning to work with residents to address parking traffic and noise issues for future festivals. Deputies in Baldwin County say a 20-year-old Honduran man has been arrested on charges related to a stabbing at a soccer game near Summerdale. Officials say a victim was taken to the hospital last week with three stab wounds. Investigators identified 20-year-old Jefferson Javier Lopez Tonico as a suspect after interviewing the victim and talking with witnesses. Deputies arrested Lopez Tonico yesterday when he was taken into custody. Officials say several small bags of cocaine were found. Officials say he's being held on attempted murder and drug possession charges and also on an immigration detainer. A Foley woman arrested and after a dead man was found in her apartment. Police say they responded to that apartment for a welfare check where they found the body of a resident who'd been dead for an extended period of time. 54-year-old Valerie Bonner was arrested for abuse of a corpse. Police say she had deliberately not notified authorities and allowed the man's body to remain in the apartment. Officials say they don't suspect foul play in the case. Well, reserved seating for the NAS Pensacola Homecoming Air Show goes on sale here in just a few days.
This Friday, August 1st, on sale. Check out NASPensacolaAirShow.org.
Right.
And the NAS Pensacola social media sites. We're going to have the information available for you to get to that online so you can make sure that you order those. Historically, they sell out, so you might jump on that. We'll have more information this week as you know, we get ready to put those tickets on sale, and we get ready to celebrate this air show. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
NAS Pensacola Public Affairs Officer Bruce Commands, he says the reserved seating tickets, though, were not required to attend the air show. It is free and open to the public. The seating, though, does offer various levels of amenities to ticket holders. $50 a seat for box seating, Flightline Chalet for $150 a seat. Again, NASPensacolaAirShow.org, and that goes on sale Friday. A boater involved in the fatal Clearwater ferry crash last April is now facing charges for leaving the scene of an accident, speeding, not maintaining a lookout. Officials say the investigation's been ongoing since that crash happened in April.
Everything sinks to the bottom. Evidence isn't readily available. You can't analyze skid marks the same way on a roadway.
Jose Castro died in the crash. 10 other people were hurt. The ferry operator was also cited for the ferry not having an operational stern light at the time of that crash. And a man who killed three people in Orange County will be put to death. Governor Ron DeSantis signing the death warrant for Curtis Windham yesterday. Windham shot his victims in Winter Garden in 1992. It'll be the state's 11th execution of the year. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly. Also, just to let you know, on 9 Mile Road westbound approaching the I-10 westbound ramp, still seeing some minor delays due to that earlier truck running off the side of the road. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a chance of some rain today, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. We're also going to be under a heat advisory as temperatures warm back into the 90s, feeling more like the triple digits. High today near 90 degrees, low in the 80s. Going into your Thursday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 86 degrees right now across the area. Our heat index has hit triple digits at 100 degrees. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our markets for today. They are not up much, but they are up just a bit. The Dow's up 22.5 points at 44,655. S&P up 8.5 points at 63.79. NASDAQ up 57 points at 21,155. 10-year bond rate up slightly, 4.372%. Gold price is down $17.90, $33.63.30. Silver down 56 cents, $37.72. And crypto is Bitcoin's up by just over 100 at 117,648. The rest of the crypto market looks to be down right now. Ethereum's down just over $5. Solana's down about $4. Dogecoin down 0.5 cents. Taking a look at a few of our financial headlines for today. The U.S. economy is growing at a stronger pace than expected. The latest gross domestic product report, the sum of the value of goods and services produced, showed a 3% increase from April through June. That number coming in above expectations of 2.3%. It helps to reverse a 0.5% decrease in the first quarter, which came after a drop in imports. The period from this GDP report included President Trump's announcement of tariffs against most countries in April. Cash App rolling out a new feature allowing peer-to-peer payments that lets users pool money with friends or family to pay for things like group gifts, restaurant checks, vacations, even expenses for grocery bills and the like. Users can create pools through the payment tab by setting a target amount and inviting users to pay through Cash App. And the company behind the iconic Gucci label reporting a big drop in sales and revenue. Paris-based Kering on Tuesday said Gucci sales were down 25% during the second quarter. The company's CEO called the results disappointing, but he's hopeful for a turnaround. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 7th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 15th, in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
You will hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000.
This year, help us raise funds for supporting our childhood cancer patients with a lit laser.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Florida Power and Light.
Thank you.
and our hope sponsors, Autumn Beck Blackledge PLLC, International Paper, and Navy Federal Credit Union. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon. The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy over the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, for today's topic, I am not going to do my job properly. The key to the frivolous topic is that I ask you a single simple question that you can then answer however you want to answer. I have, unfortunately, like a collage of questions, and you'll see why in a second.
That's okay? Not fair.
This is a little more exposition than you used to, but here goes.
Okay, John, I think we're getting set up again, but okay.
We are. I mean,
here it comes.
I was showing around the office yesterday my baseball score sheet for the All-Star game. Because when I want to watch a baseball game and I have to watch it in real time, which is too slow for me, I will score to keep my interest up. You know, which if you're not familiar with scoring a baseball game, it's single, double, strikeout swinging, outs, runs. Like, you know, it's a grid, basically, that you draw pictures on and then it conveys information. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the closest thing you're familiar with is it looks like a bowling score sheet.
Right. That's what I was about to say.
They look, yeah. And that's the other question that got me thinking about, well, people don't know how to score baseball games. How many people these days know how to score bowling? Because the computer does it for you. And then I got to thinking about math and the sad state of math education in this country and how people can't do math. And we got talking about that this morning with the millage rate. And so it's all these things are on my mind. So here's my question as close as I can get to a single question. Number one, do you know how to score bowling without the computer? That's my first question. Do you know how to score a bowling game without a computer? Second, what did you do as a kid that you look back on now that helped you with math? Aside from going to school and getting math education. Because I think I did a lot of things unintentionally. My parents did a lot of things that taught me math that I don't know that people do anymore. So 437-1620, those are my questions. Do you know how to score bowling? Do you know how to score baseball? I don't know. You can have fun. But do you think of things you did as a kid that you learned math from that weren't school? Okay, and you can see how this is a terrible question. I apologize. Here we are doing terrible radio. John Pickens, can you score bowling without a computer?
Yes.
Thank God. I hope you can. Okay.
No, I can.
Okay. How many extra balls do you get to count for a spare?
One.
There you go. That's it. See, that's it. Simple.
I didn't know there was going to be follow-up. Jeez.
Oh, trick question.
Go on. And can you think of anything you did as a kid that helped you learn math aside from, you know, going to math class?
My problem was math was always easy, but math is everywhere.
Too. Yeah.
So I was always doing addition, subtraction, multiplication, division.
Yeah.
On license plates.
Yes.
On everything else.
Yes.
You know, we didn't have our phones back in the day.
You just knew how to do math, right?
Right.
And you weren't burdened by, say, a slide rule.
No.
That's what your grandpa used.
Yeah.
Okay, Meg, so A, can you score bowling without a computer?
So here we go. I never scored bowling with a computer.
Oh.
So we were always handed sheets of paper when you picked up your shoes, and then you would do like an X, you know, first a strike, a half X first, and then you would add it all up as you went down the way.
Right.
So that, yes, that's how I used to do
it.
I don't know how to do it with a computer.
No. What I'm saying is you know how to score bowling.
Yes.
In the modern bowling alley, the computer does all the work for
correct,
you.
But now kids
don't know math.
Correct. And then as far as math went, oh God, I'm just going to really date myself.
It's
okay,
all right.
I know there's going to be some listeners that identify. We had flashcards.
Nice.
No, flashcards are great.
We used to have these little cards.
Yes.
And we would have, you know, addition, multiplication.
My wife uses flashcards with our kids, teaching them math and spelling and all that.
And I learned so quickly with flashcards, especially spelling, but math for sure. Division, multiplication, all that kind of stuff. And then we would study the multiplication tables.
Yep.
Like to this day, we studied like 2 times 2, 3 times 3.
Yep.
We would learn that sequence.
Did you go to 10 or 12?
12.
12s, yeah, that's pretty normal, going to 12s.
144.
Right? 121, 144, right.
Yes, I know, it's like still there.
I still use it today. Right, I worry.
I don't know how the kids don't do it, because they don't even...
They don't memorize that same way, right.
And then when I was a waitress, of course, I had to count back change, right?
Yes.
Well, now the kids, if the computer goes down, you're out of luck. They don't know how to count back change.
They just
count
look
backwards.
At you like...
So this is my theory, okay? This is my theory, 437, 1620. We're bad at math because we don't use it. And that's true for the bowling. That's true for playing games. That's true for being cashiers. That's true across the board.
For writing your name. Just,
right. All of it. It's gone out of us because it's not that we don't teach it. It's that it was never enough to just teach it. It had to be used and used all the time, and we don't use it all the time.
The practical use of those skills.
So, yes, I know how to score bowling. I know how to score a baseball game, and I did lots of things as a kid to learn math that weren't in the classroom. We'll talk about that in a second. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you, but if you are on 98 westbound approaching the Garcelon Point Bridge through that construction, expect a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Frontier Motors is a great place to buy good quality used cars. 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, great condition. They're going to warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years, so you know you can count on it. But I know typically you feel like you're going into a kind of soft warfare when you go to buy a car. It's like an adversarial relationship that they're trying to get one over on you, take advantage of, and you got to fight back, and they're going to pull these gimmicks. And Frontier gets that, and so they don't do that stuff. Like, they know you don't like it, and that's why you don't like it. So they don't play that game. They don't play those games because they're just trying to get you a good deal on a good car that you can count on and make you feel like you enjoyed it enough that you'd be willing to do that again with them and come back the next time. That's their goal, is to be the kind of place you'd want to buy from again and again and again, not just the one time. And so think of them as kind of your ally, as a partner, as a, I don't know, advisor. Ask them what they think. They sell and deal with thousands of cars. They can tell you what people like and don't like and what they find annoying and what they, you know, celebrate. I mean, ask them. They'll tell you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 8:48 on News Radio 92.3. Question of the day is a kind of a multifaceted one, which is, do you know how to score baseball? Not so important. It's, do you know how to score bowling? And then what did you do as a kid to learn math outside of the classroom? And I think we did a lot of things that applied math knowledge outside the classroom, and kids these days don't do that for a variety of reasons, and that's why they don't know math. And if you want to argue with me that kids today don't know math, you will lose this argument. it's bad. It's really bad. Not just kids. Adults don't know math,
right?
Because since the last 30 years or so, this is a problem. 437-1620. So I know how to score bowling, yes, but will I do it effectively and want to? Absolutely not. Okay, I mean, I understand that. It's tedious. I always thought it was fun. You got to be the one who scored
in
bowling.
I liked it.
It was fun. Yeah, it was a game. Bowling, yes. Math, flashcards, counting change. Yes, amen, yes, all
counting
of that.
Counting change.
Counting change is vital. But who even carries change anymore?
True.
It's just, you know, credit card or debit card. So we don't, there's no math reinforcement in our daily lives.
Exactly. Tell me how many people tell me, I don't carry cash anymore.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, I've told the story before, but I'll say it again. If you go to a store and your bill is, I don't know, $10 and what would be a good example of this? I'm trying to think of one on the fly.
32 cents.
$10.70, even 5 cents. Okay? And you gave that person $11, they'd be confused.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
That's an easy one, let alone, yes. You know, it's $10.87 and you gave them, what, 11, 12?
I had
know,
a charge.
And we're looking for a quarterback, you know?
I had a charge for $2.71, so I handed them $2, $3 and a penny.
Oh, and they're completely baffled by this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was just a disaster.
I don't know. Why'd you give me extra money?
It was a disaster.
Is that a tip?
Totally confused by that. And I was trying to make it easy for you, and they looked at me blankly like, what?
I have no idea. Yeah, no, being a cashier, working with money, one of the best ways to learn how to do math. Let's see. Somebody says, bought a calculator, Texas Instruments. That's how you learn math. Okay. yes, in elementary school, I used to get wrenches for my dad, so I was a little Rain Man with fractions before we ever got to them in class. Oh, because you would have to help your dad do repairs, and so you had to know wrench sizes and fractions and all of that. Absolutely. Same thing with using carpentry tools or
rulers,
a tape measure,
a ruler,
all of that.
You had to have a ruler in your backpack.
Vital.
Sure nobody carries rulers anymore.
Oh, man. That's actually a different topic for a different day. You made me think of one. That's a good one. What? Okay, I'm writing it down. Cooking taught me measures and fractions.
Yes.
And,
cup, half cup, quarter cup.
Yep, and then, you know, four tablespoons or in a quarter cup, three teaspoons to a tablespoon, all of that stuff.
How many ounces in a pound?
All of that, yes. Somebody says, I learned a lot collecting and making change from customers on my paper route. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Converting. Route.
I know.
That's so sweet.
So adorable. Converting. Convert. And by the way, paper routes, great for teaching responsibility,
absolutely,
discipline, customer relationships, mm-hmm, finance, yep, orderly, self, entrepreneurialism, all of that. Yeah. And of course, now it's all the adults have stolen the paper routes, right? So, who would let their kids ride a bike at 5 a.m. around the neighborhood delivering papers?
That.
Oh, my God. What could happen to them? Well, they might grow up successful, you know, is what could happen to them. Converting kilometers to miles by living in Germany. Oh, yeah. No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I, too, use flashcards, somebody says. Justin says, kids can't make change without a computer or a phone. And sometimes even with, did I tell you the story? I was talking to a cashier at the grocery store the other day, and we were lamenting the kids, you know, not knowing math. And she said that she had somebody who they had mischarged it as $2 when it was, or they had mischarged it as two when it was supposed to be 20.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know how to figure out what the difference was. And she said, well, let me do it on my phone. And she couldn't figure out even how to do it on her phone. How to do what 18 would be. It was, I'm not surprised.
And she's voting.
No, that's that too. let's see. Absolutely, I can. Kim says, I can absolutely score manual bowling. I was in a bowling league for many years. As far as math, I suck. Always kind of funny. My current job right now for many years is I'm an auditor for a huge restaurant. And guess what I do? I balance the books.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Once upon a time, I could score bowling as a kid. I lived in a town with a constant stream of trains running through. I'd sit by the tracks and add the numbers in the boxcars as they pass by.
Oh, cool.
I love it. That's
love
fantastic.
That.
Yes, I can score bowling. I was told I was crappy in math growing up. I didn't learn advanced math till college after finding a great instructor. I mastered calculus, advanced statistics, and linear regression analysis. Oh, man.
Whoa.
All right, fancy. Good teacher equals zero. No, that's true. I loved math. Janet says it was everywhere. Writing cursive, upper versus lowercase. You knew what a half was. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Art, fold your construction paper in quarters. Telling time on a clock. Oh, great point.
Oh, that's a good one.
Clock face teaches you math in the way that a digital does not. That's right. Flashcards. By the way, the takeaway from this is if you have kids, you can do this stuff with them. It's not too late. Keeping score for mini golf. Oh
yeah, of
that's
course.
Good. I love it. For me, it was always games and cards.
Mm-hmm.
I played lots of games, and you know, all games require math. Cards requires math. Cribbage was a game we played a lot with
my
mom and I.
Yes.
She's a single mom and one solo kid only. We play cribbage on license plates. What's the score of that license plate if it's a cribbage hand?
Oh, cool.
It was always fun. So
that's
little
fun.
Things, lots of things you can. That was a fun topic. All right, way better than I expected. And go learn how to score bowling. All right, 8:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. 3 bold sandwiches and 1 happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Some things can steal your sunshine.
Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Maybe you'd like some wine with your nose. Cheese.
Wine. We'll be fine.
Oh, I normally don't like to go back after we've taken a break, but somebody did have the best line. They said, I don't know how to score bowling, but I did score my husband at bowling.
Ba-ding!
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Touché. Oh, and we had so many other answers. Monopoly, hopscotch, jacks, band. The different ways that people learned math and then applied math outside the classroom, and that's why they knew math, and kids just don't these days. If they do, it's great. They're exceeding expectations, but they just don't. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
We are back to rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on 9 Mile Road approaching the I-10 westbound ramp, just know that there's some minor delays there still from that earlier 18-wheeler. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Speaking of kids and knowledge and all, did you see the newest study that says that it's really, really bad to have kids under the age of 13 have smartphones? Duh. I sometimes feel like I'm the only one saying that. I know I'm not the only one saying this, but kids should not have smartphones. And social media is bad for children. Like, it's bad. It's like you wouldn't give them cocaine. Don't give them a smartphone, okay? Well, what about the other kids? Okay, well, persuade their parents. Talk to their parents. Be the bad guy. Seriously, how many things can they not do? And how much, you know, problems are caused by this? So anyway, where was the actual study? I want to give you the actual data because I prefer to do that rather than just the opinion takeaway. Let's see. The Journal of Human Development and Capabilities. Smartphone use by children younger than 13 associated with suicidal thoughts, worse emotional regulation, lower self-worth, detachment from reality, especially among girls. This is for every year before 13 that a person acquires a smartphone, their mental health and well-being were likely to be even lower, the study found. Based on self-reports in a survey of nearly, you ready for this? 2 million people in 163 countries. This is a massive study. Massive. You also have the problems of social media, experiencing sleep disruption, cyberbullying, negative family relationships. There's two issues with the phone, okay? There's issue number one, which is what you are doing on the phone, okay? And that's usually bad. Everything from how it trains your dopamine response to what your brain learns to think of as normal in terms of flashy shapes and images to lurid content to interacting with people. All the stuff you do on the phone is bad. There's no good stuff you do on the phone. But the other problem is all the stuff you're not doing because you're on the phone. And that's everything from counting change, to playing board games, to riding your bike around outside, to interacting with people in person. It's all the opportunity cost of phone time. So the thing itself is bad, and the thing it's displacing is good. The very, very good things kids do growing up are being displaced by very, very bad things. And listen, there's no nice way to say it. You're paying for that. Stop. Please stop. Save your kids. This, I genuinely believe this. There will come a time, and I don't think we're that far from getting there. I used to say 15 or 20 years. I think we're closer than that, where we're going to start looking back on giving your kids smartphones the way we look now at giving people cocaine in the Coca-Cola. Like, you did what? You gave them heroin when they were sick? No!
Local news every